Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. I'm Joy Jackson. This month it's something old. I just returned from the Nostalgia Expo in Cincinnati, where one of the recreations, as well as one of the presentations, was on Zorro. ART has been working hard on a Zorro project for the last couple of years. Any day now, I'll get it done. I thought it would be fun to listen to an old-time radio show featuring the inspiration for Zorro, the Scarlet Pimpernel. The series is about a man and his wealthy friends who pose as cowardly fops while secretly going off to France to rescue folks from La Guillotine. Episode 6, Off to Rescue Servants of the Royal Palace.
They seek him here, they seek him there. Those Frenchies seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That damned elusive Pimpernel.
Star of the motion picture Red Shoes, as Baroness Orksey's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel.
French Committee of Public Safety had rounded up the poor devils who had served the King of France and Marie Antoinette. They didn't have to be guilty of any crime. It was as though they had been tainted by contact with royalty. And Citizen Chauvelin, addressing the always convenient mob, screamed for blood.
The committee has kept its promises to you, citizen comrades. Not one, but every one of those who served in the royal palace have been found, tried, and convicted by the tribunal in meeting in Versailles. Hear me, comrades. There can be no mercy for those who were in league with the very forces that ground us under heel. The royalty that treated us like dirt. The tribunal has decreed the death penalty for all!
Well, that's that, Blakeney. I thought Monsieur Chauvelin had been too quiet lately. It was evident he was preparing to throw somebody to the dogs. Come on, let's walk.
How many of them do you suppose there'll be?
Too many, I'm afraid. Personal servants. Perhaps 20.
But being held in the tower at Vincennes?
Obviously.
A strong fortress, that.
Yes, only one entrance, one exit. Staff of guards is large, but yet not so large that they won't know each other well.
You're not going to try to get in there, are you?
No. No, Tony. We'll make our rescue attempt at the weak point.
But there is no weak point.
Not in the tower, no. But the prisoners won't be executed in the tower.
You mean we'll try to liberate them on the road between Vincennes and Paris?
While they're en route to the guillotine.
But at what point?
That's something we'll decide tonight. Now, how many members of the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel are in France now?
Fuchs, Harding, Krumstedt, let me see, about 9 of us here. The other 11 at home in England for the present. We could send for the others.
No time for the others. Madame la Guillotine won't wait. Well, we'll have to try for 9. You round them up. We meet at midnight at the Inn of the Many Windows on the Road to Vincennes. I'll join you there.
Where are you going now?
To get a list of the prisoners. Age, sex, description. We'll need it. So we'll know what sort of disguises to prepare. What travel accommodations to make.
Well, where are you going to get such a list?
There's only one place I can get it. From the Committee of Public Safety.
Chauvelin's own headquarters?
Why not? You do not think he will recognize me in this French disguise, do you?
I wouldn't recognize you myself if I didn't know it was you. You do so many things with your face and voice, but the information you want will be found only on the actual orders for the execution.
Which will be in the hands of the public executioner, Citizen Lesueur. I'm certain he'll be quite happy to give it to me.
Give it to you?
Tony, Citizen Lesueur gets 50 francs for each condemned person he beheads. He's both bloodthirsty and money-hungry.
You're going to try to bribe him?
And have him suspect I'm the Pimpernel? No. I'll merely pose as a messenger from our good friend Chauvelin and say that the papers are needed for 2 more names to be added.
Well, he'll want to know why they can't be on a separate execution order.
Perhaps. Or perhaps the lure of the 100 francs will be enough.
Well, suppose it isn't. You'll be in a heavily guarded building. Suppose your bluff doesn't work. What do you do then?
Well, frankly, my dear attorney, since the situation hasn't arisen yet, I don't have the faintest idea.
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
I have been busy with the affairs of the Republic.
My business also concerns the Republic, citizen.
And state it quickly.
Citizen Chauvelin wishes you to return the execution order for the cursed traitors who were in the services of the Palace Aristos.
The least? For what purpose, citizen?
One you will like. The addition of 2 more names.
Comrade, that list is complete. There were no other servants.
Perhaps you should keep in closer touch with the affairs of the tribunal, citizen. It has been discovered that 2 of the ladies in waiting on the list were married. Their husbands were not of the palace staff, but they were condemned this morning at an extra meeting of the tribunal.
I see. I was not aware of that, citizen.
You will be aware when Citizen Chauvelin makes the addition, aware and 100 francs richer.
Yes, citizen. I will get the papers from the cabinet. Perhaps what you have just told me will make me more than 100 francs richer. Perhaps 10,000 francs richer, eh?
He spun around, and the gun he had taken from the cabinet pointed straight for my heart. I measured the room quickly. Figured every distance, every possible chance.
10,000 francs, that is the reward for the Scarlet Pimpernel, is it not?
Have you gone mad, Citizen Lesueur?
Let Citizen Chauvelin decide which of us is mad, eh? Because I left Citizen Chauvelin outside the door of this room not 5 minutes ago.
Well, in that case, there really isn't much I can say, is there, old chap?
Ah, so the English dog uses his own voice. Oh, how I have waited to have you on the scaffold of my guillotine. And now, to bring you there by my own hand.
Would be wonderful, wouldn't it, monsieur?
Madame Guillotine will stop your laughter.
Perhaps. But not by your hand, monsieur. You take me for an idiot to walk in here unprotected.
Oh, you do not seem to have...
Think, monsieur. Could the Scarlet Pimpernel be taken as easily as you seem to have taken me? I gazed full into his eyes, as though I were trying to read his soul. I was counting on the superstition and fear of a professional murderer. I could almost see his mind working, and his eyes darted quickly about the room.
I see no members of your cursed league about, Monsieur Pimpernel.
You fool. One of them sat outside and told you I was waiting in here.
My clerk told me...
Your clerk is bound up and hidden away in a closet. My men change faces and voices at will. Half the guards you passed in the corridors are my men, assuming the identity of others.
Don't move any closer to me, monsieur.
I came for a list, monsieur. Get it for me.
Not so fast, Monsieur Pimpernel. I still have a gun. I can kill you here and now.
And die with me. One shot in this room and the man who you thought was your clerk will leap in and murder you before you can bolt the door. Come on, Lesueur. Fire. Let's join Madame Death together.
No, you devil.
I want that list.
I...
His eyes warned me of the scream that was starting in his throat. I took one large stride quickly and smashed him on the point of the jaw. And he crumpled at my feet. I ripped open the cabinet, ruffled through the papers, found the list I was looking for. I stuffed it into my pocket, got out of the room, and started with long, unhurried strides for the exit. My casual visit to the committee started quite an uproar. By nightfall, troops were still combing the city and torches burned everywhere. But dressed in my own clothes, I had no difficulty in getting out of Paris and joining the other members of the League at the Inn of the Many Windows. There's Tony now.
Well,
I know I'm late. Sorry.
Better close the door quickly now.
What's the matter, Tony? What kept you?
I've got bad news. It may be impossible to get the prisoners out of Vincennes Tower, but that's where we're going to have to get them from.
But only this afternoon you told me that Blakeney planned a highway raid en route to Paris.
Well, you know that, Tony.
That was this afternoon. It won't work now.
Why not, Tony?
Because I saw something on the way out here. They're not going to bring the prisoners into Paris for execution.
But they must.
Fuchs, I passed two enormous covered carts at the south gate leaving Paris. It took me more than an hour to figure what was in them. Then I rode to the Rue de Carousel to confirm my suspicion. The square was empty. The prisoners will never see Paris. The guillotine has been moved to Vincennes.
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Now, Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
The news hit us like a thunderbolt. Every man in the room knew what it meant. No attack against a guard on a country road where we might wait in ambush, but an assault on a prison known to be escape-proof.
Fantastic.
It's up to you now, Blakeney. What are we going to do?
Well, I have to think about it for a moment.
Well, if we give it up...
Then 20 innocent people will certainly die.
Doctor! Citizen doctor!
What is this? Why do you disturb my sleep?
You must come at once. One of the prison guards is ill.
I do not make night calls.
But he is very bad, doctor. His face, he has fever.
Oh, well, wait until I dress.
Help me, doctor.
How long has he been like this?
Since he came home from the prison.
Sacré bleu. The other guards. Did he say they were sick too?
No, but the prisoners... Oh, is it bad, citizen doctor?
Bad, citizeness? This man will be dead within the hour.
Dead?
Yes, dead. Dead of the cursed bubonic plague.
Bubonic plague? Oh, no. No. No!
By morning, the town was in a panic. Nobody would come near the house, not even a casket maker. I pretended to take Tony's body out of town for immediate burial.
All right, Tony. You can get up now.
Oh, rather a bumpy hearse you provided, old boy.
And if you'll note, no mourners. I had to buy this cart. The owner never wants to touch it again. He'll probably use the money to leave Vincennes.
A panic, eh? Well, I'm glad you got this. I should hate to walk to my own funeral.
Oh, don't be so put out. It isn't even your funeral. It's the prison guard's. I'd like to be there after we release him and he shows up in Vincennes and finds he was the first to die in an epidemic of plague.
So would I. What now?
Change your disguise.
All right.
Go back into town as an ordinary citizen, build up the plague talk, and wait.
And you?
The guard you replaced was the only one who had direct contact with the prisoners. You gave a few of them the acid I had you use.
Yes, and there'll be a few cases of your synthetic plague in the tower this morning.
Fine. Now, what I need to do is to go back to town, tell the authorities that I suspect that the prisoners were the ones who started the contamination.
Well, what authority?
Well, the man who came to Vincennes this morning to supervise the preparations for the executions.
Chauvelin himself?
Yes, Tony. Monsieur Chauvelin.
It must be stopped, I tell you. The guards have deserted by the score. The troops are at less than half strength.
I am a doctor, Monsieur Chauvelin, not a magician. This is bubonic plague.
We do not even know if the prisoners have it or not. The remaining guards would rather be shot than go near them.
Someone must go. The source must be eliminated, or the entire town may be depopulated.
You are a doctor, citizen. It is your duty to go.
Even a doctor may have his fears, citizen. I am loyal to the New Republic.
Enough! But... If you are as loyal as you say, if you are as loyal as the other citizen here claim you are, then do as you are told. I order you.
Very well, citizen. But I would take this order from no one but you, a man who has done so much for the glory of France.
Thank you, comrade. Here. Here is your prison pass.
Took pistols into the tower with me, all I could conceal on my person, and I passed them out along with my instructions. The prisoners were grim, dependable. I went back to Chauvelin like a man about to die of fright.
Well, out with it, doctor.
It is they. They are already four dead, and another three will die before evening. All of them, within a week at most.
Sacre bleu!
They are going to be guillotined anyhow.
With the guards deserting and the executioner himself not to be found. The cursed Pimpernel. If he were here, I would turn them into his hands and let him die of the plague too.
Citizen, I have it. Set fire to the tower.
Fire? You just came from there, idiot. The building is of stone. And you... you have been in contact with them.
By your order.
Stop! Do not come near me.
The dead in that tower must be buried. I cannot do it alone. Nobody else will touch them.
I have it. I will get rid of the cursed bunch. Let the living prisoners carry the dead on litters to the cemetery outside the town. I will have troops dig a large open grave. Then the litter bearers can be shot and buried with them. I see you like my plan, Citizen Doctor.
A very clever plan, Citizen Chauvelin. But then, you are a very clever man.
If you have deceived us, monsieur, the gun you gave me will be used on you.
I haven't deceived you, mademoiselle.
There is the graveyard and the rest of the soldiers.
Yes. And Monsieur Chauvelin. See that clump of trees to the left?
Oui.
8 of my men wait there with more guns and 60 horses. When we reach that point, ignore the graveyard gate and run for those trees. You all hear that?
Yes.
Well, those on the litters, come to life and run too. Here we are now, coming to the gate.
Bring them this way, Doctor! This way!
I cannot! I am following your other plan.
What other plan?
Don't you remember, old boy? You said you'd turn them over to the Scarlet Pimpernel.
The Pimpernel! Fire!
All right, to the trees! We broke for the trees with the nearest soldiers 100 yards behind. In a matter of seconds, Tony and Fuchs and the others were helping our friends into the saddles.
Troops reaching the far edge of the wood.
All right, I see them. Everybody mounted?
Yes, all ready.
They can't catch any of us now, then. All right, ride!
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Whew. Channel's a bit rough tonight, Tony.
Yes. I'm afraid half our passengers are seasick.
Oh, well. Muddle de mer is better than bubonic plague.
Not to Dr. Chauvelin, I'll wager.
You know, we were mighty lucky, Tony. After all, those Frenchies must have fired 1,000 rounds. Never touched one of us.
Well, how could they?
What do you mean, how could they?
Well, after all, oh boy, Fuchs and I do a little thinking, too.
Huh.
While they were digging the graves, we emptied their guns and put in blank charges.
Adventures of the Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring, with music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Happy evening to you. This is the podcast helpline. My name is Todd. And how may I be helping you?
This is the podcast helpline.
Most definitely. My name is Todd. What seems to be your conundrum?
Do you speak English?
Oh, yes, I speak English goodly. I learned it from book. What is the nature of your conundrum?
Oh, okay. I'm having trouble with a podcast.
Yes, oh, very much, yes. Is that the totality of your conundrum?
Well, yes.
I need more data. I do not have enough data. You must give me more data.
Where are you?
Oh, I am very nearby, perhaps. Where are you?
I'm in Seattle.
Oh, my imagination, my astonishment. I am in Tacoma.
Oh, okay. Well, I typed in the website, but it won't come up.
Yes. What is your conundrum's website?
www.americanradiotheater.org.
Please allow me a moment of this continuum to try your conundrum from here. www.americanradiotheater.org. Do you know what the dots are, a period graphic on your manual keyboard input device?
Yes, I know that.
That is good. Yes. Here is the website. I have no conundrum here. You do realize that all the characters are the small bottom case ones.
Yes, I know that too.
Yes. Wonderfully so. Are you aware of the reality that American Radio Theater is all one word with any spaces discarded?
All one word?
All one word.
Oh. Well, let me try it again. www.americanradiotheater.org. Ah! There it is.
Has your conundrum then been demystified?
Yes. Thank you, Todd.
It has been a pleasurable interlude solving your conundrum. Yeah, get out, the idiots.
We return to treasures old and new from ART. For a shift back to the days of old-time radio, let's listen in to part of the Railroad Hour, which is really only a half an hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes the star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the great Franz Lehár operetta, The Merry Widow, starring Gordon McRae and his two guests, Dorothy Kirsten and Jack Kirkwood. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is arranged and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another big musical hit is brought to you, transcribed by the American Railroads. The same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. May we invite you to Paris tonight, to the Paris of kings and princes, to the Paris of ballrooms and candlelight, vibrant with the music of Franz Lehár, to the Paris of the Merry Widow. Beautiful and glamorous Dorothy Kirsten will be the beautiful and glamorous Merry Widow, Madame Sonia. Jack Kirkwood plays Baron Popoff, and I shall be Prince Danilo, an attaché to the Marsovian Embassy in Paris.
Where is Prince Danilo?
That's Baron Popoff, the Marsovian ambassador, calling me.
Where is Prince Danilo?
You see, I'm absolutely indispensable to him. They couldn't get a thing done at the embassy without me.
Where is that no-good bum?
You see, I'm indispensable.
Probably wasting his time at that wretched nightclub, Maxime's.
Oh, I've always thought it was a rather good nightclub.
Messenger, go down to Maxime's and see if you can locate Prince Danilo.
Well, if that's where they're going to look for me, maybe that's where I'd better be.
My native land is calling me to come and work from 1 to 3. Though as there isn't much to do, I only come at 2:30. Diplomacy exhausts a man, and I do all the work I can, but never ever get to bed until I paint this town quite red. With all my lovely Maxim girls, I give them cash instead of pearls. So all my blondes and brunettes say, come out with us tonight and play. We dash off to Maxim's, where fun and colic beams. While all the girls I flatter, they laugh and kiss and chatter. Lo, lo, do, do, ju, ju. Clo, clo, ma, go, fu, fu. It really doesn't matter. I kiss the birds that hide.
And when the clock go pop, we dance and never stop.
The ladies smile so sweetly, I catch and kiss them neatly. Lo, lo, do, do, ju, ju. Clo, clo, ma, go, fu, fu. Till I forget completely my dear.
Why, Prince Danilo, I'm shocked.
Oh, hello, Baron Popov. Clo-Clo, you're mussing up my hair.
How can you breathe with all these girls swarming over you?
Who needs to breathe? True, true. Would you get off my lap? My leg's going to sleep.
Prince Danilo, I must talk to you about affairs of state. Send these girls away.
Oh, Baron. Well, that's all, girls. Goodbye. Go, go, Clo. Now, what seems to be the trouble, Baron?
Prince Danilo, our native land, Marsovia, is in its hour of greatest peril.
You mean we're at war?
Worse than that, we're broke. Prince, you've heard of income taxes?
Heard of them? I've even paid them.
Commendable. As you may know, the Marsovian government is supported entirely by income taxes from its citizens. But our country is very poor. Last year, there was only one citizen in Marsovia who had any income to tax.
Oh, yes, the banker. Mr. What's-his-name?
Well, there's no matter. He's dead, anyway. But his widow was here in Paris making googly eyes at Frenchmen.
And the Frenchmen are making googly eyes right back?
At her and her 20 millions. Now, if she marries a Frenchman, her fortune will no longer be taxable in Marsovia, and our poor dear native country will be
busted?
Roger. However, if the widow marries a Marsovian citizen, the 20 millions will remain in our dear Marsovia, and everything will be, if you'll pardon the expression, hunky-dory.
Well, that pretty well covers the plot. What do you expect me to do?
A little thing. Nothing, really.
What?
You gotta put something in the pot, boy.
But how?
By marrying the rich widow.
Is she beautiful?
With $20 million, anybody is beautiful. And she's more merry than she is a widow. Besides, she sings like a bird. I'd marry her myself.
But you're married, unfortunately.
You have no idea how unfortunately I'm married.
Can I meet this merry widow before I marry her?
Oh, of course. She's guest of honor at an embassy party tonight. If we hurry back to the embassy at once, perhaps she'll even sing for us.
At a time.
There she is. See how the Frenchmen throng about her?
I'll dance with all of you. The evening's young. Here, write your names on my dance program. But print your names clearly, for I'd like to know at least the names of all the men who proposed to me. I suppose you will all want to propose to me.
Oh, good Lord. What's the matter?
That's Madame Sonia. I can't propose to her.
Why not?
Baron, I can't tell you. But there's a very good reason why I shouldn't marry Madame Sonia.
There's an even better reason why you should.
Hey, come on, sing for
us. Well, if you insist, I will sing for you. It's an old legend from my native land of Marsovia. There was once a villa away from the wood, a hungry helper alone as she stood. The spell of beauty upon him laid. He looked up, he longed for a magical maid. For a sudden tremor ran right through the lovely wildered man.
Against my better judgment, Baron. But I'll do it for Marsovia.
Oh, it is such a charming city, this Paris. Danilo.
You remember my name, Madame Sonia.
I've tried to forget it.
Now, please, Sonia, let's not be harsh.
Harsh? After all, you left me waiting at the church.
But it wasn't my fault. It was my uncle's.
Your uncle thought I wasn't good enough for you. The farmer's daughter wasn't good enough to marry the traveling aristocrat. So you had to break your noble word.
I notice I didn't break your heart.
Oh, no. I had my reasons for marrying someone else.
Mm-hmm. About 20 million reasons.
Approximately. Anyhow, I am rich and a widow with everything I want.
Do you have love?
Luckily, I don't believe in love.
You believed in mine once.
Now, really, Prince Danilo, do you imagine we can pick up where you left me, at the church door? Now that I'm worth 20 million, do you think your uncle might approve of me?
Please, Sonia, try to forget the past. Waltz with me, the way you used to.
I'll have to see if your name is on my program.
The devil with your program.
Oh, come away, away, music is calling. With its magic charms and calling, through its ringing and singing, you lift your feet, follow the chime of the time of the waltz's beat. Oh, come away, away, music is playing. Linger not, vainly delaying. Take your partners while you may. Come dance away until the break of day.
Oh, the night of the ball will go by.
chime of the time of waters beat. Oh, come away, away, music is playing. Linger not, daydreaming. Wake your Paris by your name. Come dance away until the rain of
Prince Danilo, do you always kiss your partner at the end of a waltz?
If I'm in love with her.
Oh, come now, Danilo. You're not in love with me. You're in love with my money.
Oh, you think I'm like all these Frenchmen who swarm about you, eh?
All men are alike.
I'll show you. May I have the next dance?
If you wish.
Good. I shall auction it off.
You wouldn't dare.
Gentlemen!
What's going on, Danilo?
Your attention, please. How many of you would like a dance with the Merry Widow? I have the next dance. I'm offering it for sale.
Danilo, I won't stand for this.
10,000 francs. Who will pay 10,000 francs for a dance with Madame Sonia? Not a single bid? Well, then, I shall have to dance with her myself.
It will be your last dance with me, Danilo.
Oh?
For I'm marrying a Frenchman.
I don't believe it.
Tomorrow I shall be the wife of Monsieur de Jolidin. He has proposed to me, and I've decided to accept him. Well, what do you have to say to that?
There's an old Marsovian song that says much more than I could say.
There once were two royal children who loved when the world was so young, but never were happy together. Just as the poet has sung, the prince never told of his passion, for very good reason, no doubt. And so the princess was unhappy, because he would never speak out.
And do you suppose I am sorry? I don't mean to cry. I shall not go on dreaming about you.
That's what the prince said, and not I.
And what did the princess he ended? There, Mary, I've finished with you. With that, the prince coolly departed.
And so will I.
Where are you going then?
Away from embassy and Mary Widow.
I'll go back to Maxine. I've done with lover's dreams. The girls will laugh and greet me. They will not trick and cheat me. Lo, lo, do, do, zoo, zoo. Lo, coma, go, foo, foo. I'm going back to Maxine. I've had enough of you.
He loves me, I'm sure of it now. He loves me, so la, 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 la.
The second act of The Merry Widow in just a moment. But first, let's listen to a familiar sound. We've all heard it before, I'm sure. But I wonder how many of us know what it means. Say, that's the signal a locomotive engineer blows when his train is approaching railroad stations, junctions, and railroad crossings.
Why, Gordon McRae, go to the head of the class.
All right, Marvin. And now I'll ask you a question. I bet you can't tell me how much a locomotive costs.
Oh, can't I? The average costs of new locomotives range from slightly less than $100,000 for a switcher to more than $500,000 for a four-unit diesel-electric road locomotive.
All right, Marvin. Now, of course, you know which form of transportation is the safest.
Oh, everybody knows that. It's the railroads. On the basis of the railroad safety record during the past 10 years,
A person could take an average journey of 100 miles every day for more than 22,000 years in complete safety.
Say, Marvin, you certainly do have railroad information at your fingertips.
Yes, Gordon, I think I can hold my own in any railroad discussion. But I'll admit I have been brushing up lately. And I'm getting my answers right out of the same handy book you're using for the questions. It's the new and revised edition of Quiz on Railroads and Railroading, just published by the Association of American Railroads. This colorful quiz book contains the interesting and fascinating story of the railroads. It's crammed with questions and answers and exciting photographs. Just about everything people want to know and should know about their railroads. All our listeners can obtain a copy of this highly informative quiz book without charge by sending their name and address to the Railroad Hour, Transportation Building, Washington 6, D.C. Let me repeat that address. Simply write the Railroad Hour, Transportation Building, Washington 6, D.C. And now back to The Merry Widow, starring Gordon McRae and his two guests, Dorothy Kirsten and Jack Kirkwood.
Danilo, I might have known I'd find you in this low cabaret.
Oh, hello, Baron.
You certainly made a mess of things. I trust you with an important mission. To marry Madame Sonia and save the Marsovian traitor. And what happens? She's marrying a Frenchman tomorrow.
I'm sorry I failed you, Baron. But it's impossible to figure out a woman.
Oh, I know, I know. There's something wrong with all of them. When a man marries, he gets hooked with one that's either fat, homely, selfish, cruel, or expensive. Unless he waits.
And if he waits?
He gets hooked with a combination of all of them.
For the women.
For the women.
Have to win
them.
That's an art I'm rather dim in, for there is no other way. Winning women.
Winning women.
For the lovers. That's what nobody discovers.
Not even an Edison.
You may study her ways as you can. But a woman's too much for a man. It is deeper than diving for pearls. Courting girls, 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 girls. With her fair flaxen hair, eyes of blue. She's a long way to knowing for you. She is dark or she slays. She may smile or may frown. Never mind, you will get done brown.
Women, 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 women.
Study her ways as you can.
When
a woman's too much for a man.
Women,
it is deeper than diving for pearls. Courting girls, 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 girls. With her fair flaxen hair, eyes of blue. She's a long way to knowing for you. She is dark, or she's fair. She may smile or may frown. Never mind.
Observation, gentlemen.
Madame Sonia.
Well, what brings you to Maxim's?
I wonder, Baron Popoff, what you say about the women, does that apply to your wife?
My wife? Oh, don't mention her hallowed name. She is the paragon of feminine virtue.
You trust her implicitly?
She never gives me a moment's worry.
Well, start worrying tonight. She'll worry you even less. She just ran off with a Frenchman.
What?
What Frenchman?
Monsieur de Jolidin.
Well, he's the Frenchman you're supposed to marry tomorrow.
Oh, I just made that up.
If my wife has run off, then I am legally divorced.
Well, how's that?
Under Section 4 of the Marsovian Married Men's Protective Act. If your wife runs off with a Frenchman, you are legally divorced.
Divorced? How convenient.
And now that I am free, I have the honor, dear lady, to ask you for your hand.
In marriage?
How else? Will you marry me, Madame Sonia?
Before I accept, I must tell you one teensy-weensy thing. Hmm. If I marry again, I'd lose all of my property.
All your millions?
Down to the last mill.
Maybe I was a little hasty. That's no way to put some money in the pot, boy. Is it true you lose all your money if you marry again?
Yes.
Why then?
Well?
Can't you guess what I want to say?
Why not say it, if you want to?
I love you.
And I love you. I've always loved you.
Darling. Now, wait a minute. You're going to marry her without any money?
Of course.
The man's crazy.
But you understand, I lose my money because I shall give it all to my new husband.
The woman's crazy. No, by gosh, they're all right. I'm the one who's crazy.
Don't worry, Baron. At least the money remains in Varsovia, and the national treasury is saved.
Tell me you love me again, Danilo.
But not in words, darling. Let me tell you with our own waltz.
Though I say not what I may not let you hear, yet the swaying dance is saying, love me.
And Jack Kirkwood will be back in just a moment. The Merry Widow, with music by Franz Lehár and book and lyrics by Victor Leon, Leo Stein, and Adrian Rose, was adapted for the Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the Association of American Railroads. That association has just published a new and revised edition of its interesting informative booklet, Quiz on Railroads and Railroading. To get a copy without charge, just send your name and address to the Railroad Hour, Transportation Building, Washington 6, D.C. That's the Railroad Hour, Transportation Building, Washington 6, D.C. And now here again are Dorothy Kirsten and Jack Kirkwood.
Thank you, Gordon. It was fun singing The Merry Widow with you.
Well, it was fun for me too, Dorothy.
Well, it wasn't any fun for me.
Why not, Jack?
I just lost $20 million.
Well, cheer up, Jack. We'll get you transferred from the Varsovian Embassy to the Treasury Department.
Ah! That's the way to put some money in the pot, boy.
What's on the Railroad Hour next week, Gordon?
Well, we'll be wearing kilties and talking with a Scottish brogue, Dorothy. For we'll be bringing you Brigadoon with Jane Powell and Clark Dennis as guests.
We'll be listening. Good night.
Good night, Gordon.
Good night.
All aboard!
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so, until next week, goodbye. Transcribed radio adaptation of The Merry Widow has been based on the original American production as produced by Henry W. Savage. Gordon McRae appeared by arrangement with Warner Brothers, producers of The Hasty Heart, starring Ronald Reagan, Patricia Neal, and Richard Todd. Dorothy Kirsten appeared through the courtesy of Lucky Strike Light Up Time, and Jack Kirkwood by arrangement with the Bob Hope Lieber Brothers program. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music arranged and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the Association of American Railroads.
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Please check out our podcasts on our website, www.americanradiotheater.org. You know, we put up a new podcast every month. If you want to hang out with other folks playing old-time radio, it's radiooutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelson Room. On Thursdays from 5:30 Pacific, that's 8:30 Eastern, and also on Saturday, 6 o'clock Pacific, that's 9 o'clock Eastern. Hope to see you soon!